Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Before we start the show, I just wanted to say how saddened I was to hear of the tragically early death of Julie Riley, aka Millie Bell. She was lovely. And to me, she epitomised the gorgeous fandom of the Archer's family, in that she was literally on the other side of the world, but we all felt as if we could pop in for a cup of tea and a natter about Brian. She was warm, funny and thoughtful, and she will be very sadly missed. My thoughts and best wishes go out to everyone who knew her, or who felt as if they did.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman and Mr. Newbie. We're recording this week on Fireworks Night, so please excuse the background noise of an incompetent munitions factory. I thought you were going to say something else then. The background noises. Oh, kidney beans for two. Before we dive in, let's remind ourselves of what happened last week with Lucy's Week in Ambridge.
We began the week in the Dower House. Cafetiere on the granite worktop, Ruby snoozing in her Jules dog bed, Justin in his lounge pants, which I imagined was some sort of velour thing and slightly too short, snorting behind the FT, and Lillian covertly trying to light old tea bags. As a distraction, she brought up the stables project and Justin declared that he wanted to build a clubhouse. A clubhouse! He seemed to see it like these ridiculous places in Somerset in the Cotswolds, full of people in white jeans and cashmere driving Range Rovers about, who go to the sort of hotels where you can never use all of it because someone's always having a wedding reception. They pretend they like the countryside and go on about roaring fires and wellies, when really they spend the whole time in the spa having massages from ladies who, up until the place opened, worked at the local abattoir. But you get 50p over minimum wage here, and you can steal all the Daylesford organic shower gel you can fit in your tabard. Sheila will feel completely out of place, as none of them will actually know one end of a horse from the other. They'll all just clamber on, flick their hair back, have their photo taken for Insta hashtag country life, then topple back off again and march indoors to call Dr. Mnuchin about their body sculpt appointment. Anyway, where was I? Oh yes, Justin. He said, it's all about making a splash, Lillian. Yes, I'm sorry about that, Justin. I sneezed unexpectedly. If that wasn't enough to put the fear of God into us, Shula feels invigorated. I find a depressed Shula is more than enough. An invigorated one is like giving a shark a machine gun. Kenton was depressed at the cancellation of Zombie Night at the Bull. How would we have told? But in actual fact, someone rediscovered a load of old games and they all played them as a tribute to Bert Fry. Can you imagine? They've been shut up in one of the Bull's cupboards since 1986. One set of hungry hippos with a broken plastic trigger, Monopoly where you could either be the boot, the top hat, the bit of damp beer mat or the fag end, or Operation where the leg bone's been replaced with a dried out earwig. Poor Bert, he deserved better than that. There was also backgammon, which Justin referred to as backgammon, as if it was a game involving a pig's ass. I mean, perhaps it was. Still, the ball was absolutely heaving, Kenton said, but that's what you get when Wayne's doing the catering. Oh. Over at Rickyard, Pip was having a strop with Toby. She went over to Brooker's to steal some bread, Ruth's wallet and Jill's pension, but got caught by Leonard, so had to just restrict herself to the bread. I realise that I've completely lost track of two things. One, how old Rosie is and whether she should be out of nappies or taking her driving test. And B, too, if Leonard now lives at Brooker's or not. I mean, he's there at 9 a.m. I'm not sure Jill was even up. And it's unlikely he just tiddles around in the kitchen, clapping his little hands in anticipation of her arrival in a flowery dressing gown, belching and scratching herself. Pip then returned, armed with bread, to have a ding-dong with Toby. She took a leaf out of Adam's book and announced that she didn't have time to eat two slices of toast. Come off it. The time it took her to say that, she could have eaten the other one. She could have carried on rowing with her mouth full. We wouldn't have minded. You can eat toast on the loo, while driving, or having bowel surgery. That's the beauty of it. Excitingly, Linda is trying to find a new god, like one of those remote islands where the people get mixed up and worship Kenneth Kendall or someone. Bert Fry went off to meet the real thing before he got a chance to play it, so she's on the hunt for a new one. May I suggest Brian? He'd be splendid, and he already has the self-belief. I thought, more fool me, that we'd happily got a shot of the wandering shit show that Linda calls the Mysteries, but no, it's happening on Boxing Day. For our overseas listeners, Boxing Day in England is sponsored by Tupperware and is the day when we celebrate the coming of our Lord and the fact that we can now shut the fridge door. Everyone is a little bit windy and grumpy, having spent the previous week subsisting entirely on Terry's chocolate orange, red wine and sprouts. And no one, absolutely no one, wants to be shouted at up a hill by Roy pretending to be Judas Iscariot. Linda's MBE ceremony is going to be one of those tedious storylines that goes on and on, isn't it? They better get a move on. The Queen's got a doctor's note now, so she doesn't have to go back for weeks. She's got her feet up watching Alibi for the foreseeable, so I wouldn't buy your hat just yet, Linda. For reasons I cannot be asked to remember, we spent some time with Roy and Kirsty eating fish finger sandwiches. They seem to regard this as some sort of indulgent feast, but I can't really see why grilling two furry bits of breadcrumbed cardboard off the back of the freezer wall is something to get excited about, but then Roy and Kirsty would get excited by milk. So there we are. Ooh, Natasha Cloppy is back.
Yay!
Sounding a little bit hoarse, but that's because she was shouting over the noise of her own kitten heels. Tom was trying to cleverly induce Natasha to bring her profitable and healthy enterprise to the bankrupt disaster that is Bridge Farm by saying, please, please, please. Pat then put her comfortable clogs right in it by declaring that she'd got Cloppy's desk sorted right out next to the Reed sewage bed. Cloppy said it was a business decision and therefore she was very keen not to rush into things. And they all looked at her blankly. Not rush into things. Not. Also, did anyone else notice that Pat appeared to be blending the mackerel pate with a chainsaw?
Yes, of course I noticed.
A roar of an engine, then a splintering crash. The mackerel's supposed to be dead first, Pat. And we ended the week with Krusty giving us those wonderful words we love. I've had an idea and it just might work. It just might not work, Krusty. Your good ideas never, ever do. Give it up. Leave Blake of Arimathea alone. She rang Philip, who briefly gave us his audition piece for Under Milkwood before he remembered that he was supposed to be playing a slave-driving builder. And the end result was that Krusty had now accidentally given away the fact that Blake is helping the police, that harassment is on the case, and has agreed to go and visit the one man she never wanted to see again. Brilliant. It might just didn't work, did it, Krusty? The end.
Oh, what can I say? Other than the food processor really put me off at the Archers a bit. Oh my God. It became really sinister. Pat became really sort of like sinister to Natasha anyway.
Yeah.
And then it was almost threatening, wasn't it? The way she was like forcing
just
her to
put your fingers
passing.
Here, Kirsty. Closer, closer. Oh, it was on. I'm sorry.
It was horrible. Go on, Natasha. You do want the rye bread. Don't choose the cracker. Cracker and mackerel pate does not work. And I'll just add a few more capers. She basically turned into Nigella for a bit, didn't she? Yeah, a couple of capers, a squeeze of lemon, and ooh, a touch of creme fraiche. Let's whiz it all together.
With a chainsaw.
And poor Natasha's like, I just want to go back to my old meadow. Oh, please let me go back.
I don't like it here at all.
I don't, because, you know, it was one of those weeks where they were bringing up old...
Yes.
Old people and yeah. Old people. But
I spent
lots
of time going, oh, hello.
Yes, me too. Oh, I've forgotten about you.
Where
so
did we
good
leave
to see
you?
You?
What have you been doing for the last 10 months?
You know, and you're right, and it's like, Rosie is now 16 suddenly.
Is she? I don't know where she is. I mean, she's eating
toast. She's at nursery. Toby.
Take her to nursery.
Rosie. They're so annoying. I don't know what it is about poor old Pip, but she cannot not be annoying, can she? Everything she does.
you know, from stealing bread.
Yeah, yeah.
To complaining about...
I think, you know, she tries to cultivate this air of lofty indifference about everything.
Yes.
And you think, but you've got to be real about something. You've got to actually be engaged with something.
She's never moved, is she?
No, she's never... She was never bothered about Toby, really. She doesn't seem that thrilled about Rosie, to be honest.
She's always in a huff. I suppose she gets that from Ruth in a way, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She's never generous to anyone, is she, actually? Because Toby, I was thinking, God, he has a dog's life, actually, doesn't he? I know he's a prat, but honestly, living with her, you know, her huffing all over you. And
I love the idea of those two in bed, like Morecambe and Wise, in full pyjamas, desperately trying not to touch each other.
Big ears and noddy. And also, I don't know, how realistic is that? Because it must be quite hard, isn't it, to not...
I think it's very... if you've got two bedrooms, fine. It's very unrealistic in a one-bedroom house when you're trying to sort
it
of...
It is.
You know.
And especially if Toby is out. But wouldn't you just get...
Why would you not just get a sofa bed that's more comfortable than the crappy, you know?
Yeah.
It's just bonkers.
Yeah. I mean, everyone gets a bit hormonal, don't they?
And Yeah.
I actually quite like, because we haven't heard from Toby for months, have we?
Well, in fact, I messaged you and then deleted it because I realised and said, was that Toby? Have we got a new Toby? Because it was so long I didn't actually recognise him.
But then because I didn't bother replying to you, and because then by that time you deleted it, I was like, ooh, maybe it wasn't about the Archers. She messaged the wrong person. Was she meeting somebody? In a bar? Tobias? No, it definitely was Toby.
It was,
He sounded really nice though, didn't he?
He did. I think that's what confused me. Because I'm used to him sounding like, rah, 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 rah. And, you know, he seemed...
But then Rex was a bit... I thought Rex was a bit out of order. I thought
everyone Rex was out of order with... petulant.
Oh, my God. Him and Pip are so similar in a way, aren't they? Just sort of... Toby is actually... he's not annoying, really, is he? I mean, I know he's a bit
he's definitely not as annoying as Pip.
No, but also Rex's fury came out of nowhere. But then they made up, didn't they? And obviously Rex has been under some, it's, you know, difficult. Oh, sorry to everybody last week when we basically made the Archers up by saying that Bert owned the bungalow.
It was about a second and a half before the first emails came in. And people just going, no.
Hadn't even aired.
It doesn't belong to them. Oh, we should,
Has Bert's been there forever then?
Yeah.
Really? Right. And then was Rex paying, Rex paying rent to David and Ruth?
Yes, or he was giving the rent to Bert, who was then paying David and Ruth.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
It's all quite confusing, isn't it? Because then there's the Hollow Tree stuff. I'd forgotten. So were Rex and Toby originally living together at Hollow Tree?
Yes.
And then what's happened to Hollow Tree then? Who's in there? Oh, Pip's in there now. Well, no, I don't know.
No, Pip's in Rickyard. No, they weren't. No. Hollow Tree was where they had the chickens and they were living in a caravan, weren't they? Or something?
Oh, right.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Oh, I know. I can't remember. And now that's a field of daisies or something.
Yes.
So, yeah, with no caravans allowed. That's been rewilded.
The caravan's been rewilded.
Yes. It always looks ever so nice now.
Rewilded. And they're now like 6 feet tall eating cows. And yeah, that's what's happened.
Okay. So now, Toby and Rex
here we go.
Together.
Barbara Wiseman has emailed. Thank you, Barbara. She said, as far as I remember, the bungalow belongs to Brookfield. I think that when Bert stopped working for Brookfield, he was worried about where he and Frieda would live, but David and Ruth allowed him to stay on at the bungalow. Therefore, it doesn't pass to Trevor at all. Thank you, Barbara, and also for not telling us we were Wallies, which everyone else did. So I'm only going to read out your one.
Yes, because I think we should have a warning at the beginning of the podcast saying... We're not that good at the Archers. We just like talking about what's happened in the week. I mean, you're very good. You've got very good knowledge. Hello, caller.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. Say that again. What? No, honestly, it's like the Battle of the Somme here.
I'm finding it really distracted. I wonder if anyone can hear. But I've basically got, artillery fire in the background.
Exactly.
And it is quite distracting,
it is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I'm having to sort of like adjust my headphones because I keep thinking it's interference. It's not. It's just fireworks.
Yes. So So what were you saying to me before?
Don't know. Let's change the subject.
Okay, fine. Super duper. Yes. What was all the business with Roy and Kirsty and the bloody fish fingers? What was the point of that?
That was because she was celebrating the divorce coming through and it will have landed on a year, on their year's anniversary.
Oh.
So actually, Kirsty only got married a year ago.
God.
Can that be?
Yes, because it was all, they were dicking around for ages, weren't they? And there was problems.
But it was lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's why they had a little ceremony.
Oh, okay. It feels like ages ago they got married.
Do you know, time has gone really weird. Time in lockdown, time has gone strange. And I keep finding myself saying to meet people, da 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 da, the other day, and then thinking, it can't have been the other day, you Wally. It was at least 2 years ago.
Yes, exactly.
Because it's like almost, 2 years has just disappeared.
Yeah, yeah, because it was like the lockdown came and sort of, like, as a sort of black hole, isn't it?
So yes. Yeah.
You're thinking of 2 years ago, but actually it was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very confusing.
Yes.
It's a bit like this week. We're really confused because suddenly it's the end of the week and me and you are both still on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's very odd because the nights have drawn in.
Yes.
The days are ever so much shorter. But basically, the Archers is still 5 nights a week. It was so confusing.
Basically, I'm navigating by the bake-off. If the bake-off doesn't happen on that day, I'm buggered. I don't know what day it is. I don't know where I am.
I wish they'd put Sunday Archers on Friday, actually.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't work not having it on Friday. Because
no.
I still switch it on and it's blimming hour-long front row.
That's why I was sitting there like a Wally at 7 o'clock tonight thinking, I'll just listen to that. Oh, no, I won't.
I know, and you get really disappointed. Whereas on Sunday, I forget that it's an
Archers
night.
Me too.
I'm
used to it not being on a Sunday. I'm not used to it not being on a Friday.
So they need to swap that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can I ask you something, Harriet? Do you have lounge pants?
Oh, well, Lucy, I'm so glad you asked. It's the sort of thing I'd like to have, actually.
What do you think they are?
I don't know what lounge pants are. Well, I think if
I've got yoga trousers. They're very loungy because they're
elasticy
and twangy everywhere. They're great.
I believe that lounge pants are, like sloppy trousers, aren't they? They're basically pyjama bottoms, aren't they?
Don't want to think about.
Sloppy and a bit sticky and grimy.
Just in sloppy trousers.
The thing is, most people's lounge pants presumably would just be like worn every night and have bits of dinner on them.
Yeah.
But Justin's are clearly freshly pressed every evening.
So get out of those lounge pants and
sent to the dry cleaners
and
probably ironed. But I sort of imagine they're like stripy.
That's pyjamas then.
Yeah, but I wonder if lounge pants are pyjamas. What's the difference? Oh, should I Google it?
I don't know. No, don't. God knows what you'll end up with.
I mean, Justin and lounge pants.
Yeah.
That's a bit gross.
No, yes, exactly. I mean, I doubt he'd even take a belt off his jeans ever. You know, he'd always be sort of in a stripy shirt and a V-neck jumper.
Exactly.
And,
he doesn't lounge.
No.
Does he?
No, no, no. He's always on his bloody laptop.
Ew, yuck. Ew. Yeah, they are a bit yucky and a bit shiny. Ew, and some of them are a bit see-through. Ew.
But they're basically you not to look.
But they're basically pyjamas.
You've upset yourself now, haven't you? You'll be dreaming again tonight.
Mm. I can't really Google Justin lounge pants.
No.
Because that'll just come up with people Justin lounge pants.
Or Justin Timberlake in lounge pants. I'm not sure which one.
Oh, that would be all right.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes. So that's a faux pas.
And second question, would you go to a clubhouse? What's that stupid bloody club? It's in Bath or somewhere, and it's like an extension of Soho House.
Babington House?
Yes, that one.
It's terribly nice, actually, Lucy. The thing is, when I hear clubhouse, I can only think of Mickey Mouse's clubhouse. Mickey Mouse clubhouse.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if it was that? Can you imagine?
Mickey
Shula
Mouse
coming out looking
clubhouse.
Really grumpy with two big ears on.
That's all. When I hear clubhouse, all I hear is Mickey Mouse clubhouse, come on in and join the fun. But so I can't take it seriously.
I don't think it's going to be fun.
But I said before, you're not there. The punters aren't going to come to Ambridge, are they?
No,
as you said, they're going to go to Frome.
Yes.
They're not going to go
Birmingham.
Well, maybe there's one in Felbersham. But then anyway, Lillian was like, Well, there is one in Felmsham and there is one in Portageurt and they've all closed down.
Yeah. Yeah. This kind of strange... I don't. It's more of the let's treat a man like an idiot and like a child thing.
No, but what it is Justin is not thick. He's a businessman, isn't he? They're both
businessmen. So stop trying to manipulate. And if it's a bad idea, it's a bad idea. Just give it up. You can't coerce somebody into spending half a million squid on your stupid idea.
Well, it suddenly makes it so unbelievable because if Lillian's there going, oh, you didn't know about the clubhouse, it's just, you know, the stables, it's just been shut down. And it's like, well, of course, you know, anyone would do their basic research, wouldn't they?
Even we would. Let's face it.
I've often thought of opening a Mickey Mouse clubhouse.
Have you?
At a stables. Well. Yes. Yeah, I would love that. I'd love it. Milkshakes all day. Yeah. Oh, I'd love it. And then I'd get, there'd be like a little stage with lights on.
For you.
And
no one else.
For
just
me.
You.
Mostly for me.
Yeah.
Punters could come and have a go, but mostly it would be like that Leon in Shaftesbury Avenue. You know, they have like the waiters occasionally come and do a performance.
Yes.
And it's quite fun because they're all actors, obviously. Yes. But that's the way all cafes should have that.
Should they?
Someone just, yeah.
You're just trying to make work for your own industry, aren't you?
And we'd all be on roller skates, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
So that's silly. But now, as you said, Shula is disgustingly invigorated.
I know. She was positively pumped up, wasn't she?
It was horrible the way she was all a bit red-faced and sweaty.
But I did like Linda going, you've got a lover. I have Lillian going, you've got a lover. And she's going, no, I have not. I only want Neil. I'm saving myself
for Neil.
Exactly.
We haven't. What's happened to that?
Oh, God knows. I'm quite glad. I didn't like that. I hope we just quietly kicked that into the long grass and just
went off. I
know
that upset you so much.
I know. I didn't like it.
But I liked it. Do you remember? Yes. I thought that was a
Do you remember
really...
that thing that I liked and you didn't like? Yes, I do remember that, Harriet. Yeah.
There's quite a lot. That's all this podcast is really, isn't it?
Things Harriet likes that Lucy hates.
I don't like it. Do you? You do?
Do you like this
Okay.
thing? I don't like
it. I don't. Thank you. Bye. And now a sketch. That's why people tune in.
Yeah.
For the classy content.
Imagine they're gagging for that to hear that again every week.
Just gagging to get off.
Just gagging.
Get
That's
us
it,
off
really,
the airwaves.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're getting distracted, Lucy. not Shula and Neil. Yeah, so Shula's excited, even though basically... So what's going to happen? So they are investing now, are they?
I think so.
Even because Shula's basically said, I tell you what, Justin, I've got a really good idea. Let's put some more sand in the sandy bit. And Justin's like, okay, great idea. Love
but
your
I want,
idea,
Shula. I want really, really expensive sand, Shula. Really
Imported
exclusive,
from Dubai.
Yes, exclusive sand that somebody from Towie once trod on. Have that sand. Because that's the kind of market we're after. People, orange people who can't ride. That's what we want.
I want shakes. I want shakes. Yeah. Milkshakes. No shakes. Real shakes. Is that racist? It's sort of a joke. It didn't really work. you might have to cut that bit. what else?
Bert's wake at the pub that consisted of lots of people playing
that
backgammon. Not backgammon, but backgammon.
I didn't notice that strange thing. He was. There's so many other things we've heard like that, aren't there?
Yeah.
Because we did a whole podcast on what they say wrong, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, we did. Because that's
hey,
the kind of pedantic
of
nerds we are.
It never gets picked up in the takes, does it?
No.
They'll always let something like that go.
But they probably think, well, somebody probably says backgammon rather than backgammon.
What a boring wake. They should have waited for this Friday and then they could have had fireworks.
They could have put Bert's ashes in a rocket and sent them up. He'd have loved that.
What they should
have
done.
Also, where's Trevor?
Oh, I know. Is that it? Is that literally all we're going to get
from him? Julian. That was it, was it? My
Julian.
Got a like 10 minutes of being boring and then that was it. That's
He's
rubbish.
Gone off on his train, Lucy, on the 1637 back to...
Mate.
Where does he live?
I don't know. Don't care.
Sounds like he's from... Well, don't know. Doesn't really sound like he's from around there, does it?
I think he was supposed to sound like Bert, who was also a bit mummerset, wasn't he? He was just a bit of everything.
Yes, it's a shame that I thought Bert. I felt a bit sorry for Bert. Actually, I felt. But or, no, what they should do, but they won't bother because it's too boring an episode. They need to have a sort of, you know, planting Bert's ashes in the. No one's even mentioned a funeral, actually, have
no,
they?
No, we have. Have you had? No one's told me.
No, I haven't
don't know
had where
to send flowers or anything.
No, it's just charity donations.
Oh,
charity.
Okay, is it?
Yeah, but presumably they should plant him in the soil.
And then he'd grow a new Bert.
Grow a marrow out of it. Or, you know, like grow some veg.
And then Bert would win his own
award that
would be for
good.
His own marrow grown by his own body.
They could actually do a Joe and... If they've still got Joe's ashes, they could do a
I
Joe and Bert
this
competition.
I think tasteless.
Oh, do you? Oh, sorry. Oh, do you think?
No, I'm joking. Oh. I think it's great. I mean, it is tasteless, but yes, I still like it. No,
well, I mean, you know, it's a bit more... interactive, isn't it?
If you're... It's a brilliant short story about a couple that were obsessed with gardening and they asked to be composted after their death and their relatives had to chop them up and put them on the compost heap.
Oh my God. So they weren't ashes?
No.
Ooh, whoa. Their relies had to do it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's a weird party, isn't it?
Yes.
Is this a true story?
No.
Oh, okay. Gross. I remember dissecting frogs' legs in school, and that was bad enough.
Oh, everybody fainted when we tried to do that.
Oh, it stunk, didn't it? Mm. Oh, no, pig's trotters. That was it. Oh, my God, it was so disgusting.
Oh, pig's trotters reek.
Oh.
Frogs smell a bit like fish, though. They don't really smell like that.
Yeah, but the pig's trotters makes me feel sick. Anyway, so they're not going to do that with Bert. Well, maybe they are.
Next question.
I've got a great idea, David.
Nothing in the freezer.
Pat's got a brilliant food processor. I'm sure it would take the whole of him. I'll just add some capers. Bit of lemon. Oh, yes, good as new. I could go a bit Barbara of Seville, whatever it is.
Before we need to return to the Natasha Cloppy bit.
Oh, yeah. I love that she's back.
I love that she's back also. But Pat was being really, she was being sinister. And poor bloody, I've actually felt quite sorry for Natasha.
I did. But what they've done is they've gone back to the beginning of their relationship.
Yeah.
Because do you remember at the beginning they were sort of...
Wasn't it? It was all that malarkey.
Yes, exactly. And then they all got on really well, didn't they? Because Joy ended up falling in love with Tony and then there was all that and they all sort of bonded.
Yeah.
But now it's gone back. Also, we don't know, or maybe we did know, but we've all forgotten. She's got an apple juice making business in Wales.
Yes.
And she goes off there for like 2 nights a week or something.
Yes. She grows fruit trees and she makes fruit juices out of them.
Has she got anyone to pick the fruit, Lucy?
Well, clearly.
Because there have been shortages.
Shortages.
Maybe Adam's gone over with her.
Adam's probably. Yeah, he's remote working. Yeah. He's
remote picking.
He's doing it from his computer at home. He's quarantined.
That is the future.
Yeah, no, she didn't mention that at all, did she? She didn't mention who was picking the bloody things. But anyway,
no, she didn't.
She's got a lot of them, these fruit
minions,
trees.
Yes.
And she is very, very keen on everybody planting the fruit trees. And I think she's got a perfectly good business and she should keep it away from Bridge Farm because they are the kiss of death for every commercial enterprise going.
Because she's the only person doing well in that family and the only person with any common sense. And if it ain't
so they're trying to just drag her down to there.
Oh, it was actually quite horrible, wasn't it? And because Pat loves having a spiky relationship, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And they're going to... Yeah, it's going to all be tense. And where are they living? Are they still living in that flat above the shop?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they were going to get a house and then it will... They were going to live in a swanky house, weren't they?
Yes. You know, the Bridge Farm finances are a joke if you look at them properly. Because the dairy doesn't sell any cheese to anybody and yet it can pay three staff. You know, it's just bonkers.
Well, the farm shop might do all right. But...
Bridge Fresh, at this time of year, the only thing anybody wants is pumpkins.
Oh, my God.
There is nothing else there unless you just want to eat beetroot for the rest of your life.
No, you basically have to cancel your veg box
Yeah, everybody does that. And then even the big Christmas. Ones go bankrupt then, so, you know.
Yeah, because actually, who wants, I mean, you know,
winter
veg. Who
wants turnip? Yeah, who wants turnip and kale for months it's and hard. Months and
once
months?
Once the squash and the pumpkins are done,
yeah.
Oh, it's hardcore, isn't it? Oh, my God. It's all very tough and hardy.
You have to be very, very committed. It's everything that takes 3 months to cook.
It just,
so you
and
put it,
just
it on now
in your
and
fridge.
You just about eat it at the end of February.
Oh,
yes, and
God.
It just sits in your fridge going mouldy till you feel guilty and throw it away.
Oh, yes. I have started eating kefir, actually. Speaking of Tom and mould.
I quite like kefir and I'm drinking kombucha.
What?
Which actually you can pretend is booze. Because
I
am not drinking the booze
stuff?
At the moment.
Oh,
and
no,
I am drinking the kombucha instead. And you can sort of pretend.
Are you sure it's not disgusting, Lucy?
No, honestly, it's really nice.
Really?
It
but
is.
What does it taste? But doesn't it taste fermented?
It tastes sharp. It tastes like... Yeah, it just tastes like slightly... Yeah, just sharp juice, really.
Well, yeah, there's only the only kefir I like is by the Collective Dairy because it basically just tastes like normal yogurt. I think they haven't made it very fermented.
No.
So if you put like sugar in it, basically, it's quite nice.
The Bridge Farm one's probably got turnip in it or leek.
God, it'll be disgusting.
Yeah.
The proper hardcore
stuff.
He
stopped chuntering on about that recently, hasn't he? He stopped chuntering on about his kombucha
and
kimchi
he actually
and everything
was,
else.
But he was quite forward thinking, wasn't he? Because he got into it
Yeah, he does. And then as soon as everyone else catches up, he stops. That's the Bridge Farm way. Wait until we got to be early adopters. Wait until there's an enormous market for it and then stop doing it. That's their kind of commercial system.
Although I really like Natasha.
I felt really sorry for her because when she said, why do you have to tell your parents everything before you tell me? And I think Tom needs love and approval from his parents far more than he needs them from her.
Yeah.
And that's a horrible situation to be in when you're somebody's wife.
Well, also, he's so self-obsessed, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That he doesn't... I think he finds, you know, like that's sort of the reason he couldn't marry Kirsty as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because he can't devote any of his time to anyone else, really.
Yeah.
He's so obsessed with his own success. And you're right, he's so tied to that farm.
Yeah, because he's still trying to be John. That's what he will.
Oh,
he will live and die trying to be John. And he won't ever know what it's really like to be himself.
He'll never be John.
No.
And one day they'll say, Tom, you'll never be John. And that'll be devastating.
Thomas, you'll never be Jonas. Give it up. That's what they'll say.
Oh dear. It's getting a bit dark. Well, it is a bit dark anyway.
I think it got dark when we started talking about chopping up Bert and using him as compost to enter for his own competition.
Yes.
But anyway.
Which might happen.
Also, can we just stop Kirsty? Can we give her some sort of sedative or something?
Never. She's just getting madder and madder.
She is. You can imagine that, like her hair is
I'm
just
so
standing
worried about
on end.
Blake. I've got nothing else to worry about in my life now. I'm going to worry about him every day. I'm not going to sleep. Roy, I'm going to make you worry about him.
She is getting like, oh my God. But then it was weird because she didn't have to phone Philip.
No.
That was a stupid thing to do.
It was.
Because it was never going to work.
Yes, yes.
She could have just trusted
But are
Harrison.
We trying to think that she's going to get back with him?
Yeah, well, I thought, didn't you think though, as you said, when he was doing his undermilk
Is it the rain, Kirsty? Oh, I miss the rain.
She's
especially
like,
the soft rain, not the hard rain. The stuff. Oh, God, Bible black. Here we go. Shut up.
Oh, Philip, don't talk to me about the rain again. Oh, you get me all started. Oh,
when
stop
he
it.
Said, are you in the nature reserve? I'd have said, no, I'm in Lidl. What do you want?
She is... I think she's going to get sucked. It sounds a bit gross if she's going to get sucked by him. She's going to get sucked into him. Is that worse?
I think that's possibly worse, but anyway.
I think it felt like the vortex of Philip was unravelling itself into her.
Yes.
I'm so like Bert. So poetic.
Unravelling the... yes.
Unravelling her nature... reserves. I think it did feel like but I was quite pleased about that. I sort of hope I hope it all gets a bit Because it's boring. Kirsty's always going around being earnest and annoying. And also, like, it's... I mean...
Well, if they get married again, I wish they'd just... Maybe they get married, then they can adopt Blake as their child. And then he can stop going on about... I bet he'd still call him Mr. Moss.
I know it's really bad because obviously he's been
gets
a modern,
on your wick.
He's been a no, but obviously because Blake's been a modern slave and everyone's like, oh no, you mustn't like Philip because he's bad. But yeah. I keep thinking like, but is it so bad if he, even if it's a superficial friendship?
Yeah, that it makes him feel secure. Yeah, someone else said that on Twitter actually. They said, look, why is this
so
but
bad?
Also, but they're not being fair to him because they're saying to him, no, he's bad. No, he's bad. You mustn't. But they're not telling him the truth. So when he said, Mr. Moss, when we got sent to, they should have said, he sold you to Victoria. They haven't said the word sold. They've just said...
Why can't they be more explicit in how bad he is?
Yes.
Like he massively... And he didn't... Yeah, exactly. He wanted to get rid of you.
Yeah.
But Blake wouldn't believe it. But then actually when Blake said... Oh, he gave me a jumper, his favourite jumper. Mm. I was like, oh, Philip, so cute. But I shouldn't have felt like that, should I?
No, you shouldn't. My God.
It's like you're not allowed to say it, but I feel like Blake might actually be helped by seeing Philip.
Yeah, I don't think so, because Philip's far too canny. He's already seen this as a public... Poor old Blake. He's been used as a public relations opportunity by absolutely everybody.
Oh, my God, but Harrison's such a dick. Yeah. Oh, my God. If you're going to do something undercover, Harry, don't tell anyone, love. Anyone. Honestly.
But Kirsty, though, was... No, it wasn't... He did this. No, I don't know who he was. Shut up. I'm not saying. Shh. No, not harassment. It was someone else who is not a policeman.
And even to Harrison, she was like, but you're using him. And Harrison's like, yeah, but I am trying to get the baddie. Yeah, but it's not fair on Blake. And it's like, well, but wouldn't it be really good if we could like arrest Victoria and maybe try and find the others? No, but Blake, it's like, oh my God, Kirsty, calm down.
She'll be trying to, we had a one-woman mission to rehabilitate Victoria the way she's going. Must release Victoria from her chains of capitalism. Oh God, Kirsty.
Here we are, Kenzie. Yeah. Here, you take my favourite jumper. You say nothing to police.
Dear, and I really don't care who goes to see the Queen with Linda. I don't even care if Linda sees the Queen.
No, surely, weren't you chuffed to have Linda and Lillian back together?
No, because I don't like it. Because it's not accurate. They would hate each other. They have nothing in common. Their life approach is totally different.
They bonded, didn't they, in those all those months ago.
Yes, but that was...
And then they had that funny old hospital farce thing when they were trying... I don't know, I can't even remember what they were trying to do, and which was hilarious. And actually, I think they make a great pairing. And when Lillian... She is genuinely fond of Linda.
Mm.
And anyway, it was so funny. Well, I thought the funniest bit of the whole week was basically when Linda was like, oh, Lillian. And she was like, oh, my darling, I can't stop, darling. I'm terribly busy. It really, really made me laugh. Like, oh, my God, Linda, no. I've been tracked down. I think there is such a great pairing. That it's going to be a hilarious show when they're at the palace together.
Oh, God.
But as you said... Mm. They need to get a move on with that, don't they? Slightly awkward.
Otch it forward. Otch forward ceremony. No, I tell you what it'll be. It'll be, we need a special guest to open the Christmas show. Who shall we have? Actually, I've got the Queen. Oh, marvellous. While she's there, she can give me the MBE.
That actually would be wonderful. If they could get the, you know, for like her final sort of public appearance.
Well, Mum. I mean, you've been on the throne for 132 years.
She's never been on the Archers. Has she?
Because she's the head of state, you fool. She can't just pop up on soap operas.
Oh, of course she could.
Was she going to be behind the bar at the Rovers? Is that relief barmaid?
Oh, I'd
Betty
love
Betty Turpin's
she...
mum.
I think that would be really super.
Harriet, you are like a copy of Majesty magazine sometimes. Knit your own royal family, honestly.
I know it's really embarrassing, but I do love the royals.
I don't know why I'm not surprised at all.
I'm obsessed. Ever since I got my first Fergie and Andrew book when they got married, and I was like at seven, and then I got the I got a souvenir book of their wedding, and I've been in love with all of them ever since.
Oh my god.
It was all these like amazing pictures of Fergie looking ever so
hot,
you know. Oh well, ever so
flushed,
hot, but ever so
drunk.
No, there was no toes, no bare toes in any of the photos. She was ever so demure. And, you know, she'd be sort of, Andrew would have his hand. It was all the sort of official wedding
photos. She is not demure. She dresses like a barmaid that's come up on the pools. There is no way she's demure.
She was very pretty, though, wasn't she, back in the day? Oh, I wish I could. I really, really want to get a copy of that book again, though. Because it was like...
I've got you a present. I forgot to say. Yes. Yes.
It's not my birthday.
I know. It's a very small present. I think I've oversold it already, so I'm going to shut up about it.
Is it to celebrate a year of... I forgot what we were called.
This thing that we're doing. Yeah. That Ambridge thing.
I was going to call it a year of on Ambridge.
Yeah. Yes.
A year of the couch.
Yes.
Is it? Because it nearly is our year anniversary.
Yes. But yes, it is a very small thing. It is not a book about Fergie and Andrew, though.
Oh, gutted. Is it about royal people?
No.
What is it then?
It is.
Why did you get it?
Because I saw it in a shop in Snape Maltings and it made me laugh. And it is those foam bananas.
A book on foam bananas?
No, real foam bananas, you burk. But they're like really, really posh ones.
Oh, that's nice.
So I got you foam bananas.
Thanks. Are you going to give them to me when we meet up?
Yes.
Yeah. We're meeting for the first... Oh, no, not the first time.
What are you talking about the first...
It is like the first time because it's been about 5 years.
Yes, I'm a man now. I didn't tell you.
No, you did. Because
did
we thought that would be better for our...
Oh, yeah.
For our chances of getting on Radio 4.
Ow! I did a yoga class yesterday morning and my stomach still hurts. So don't make me laugh. I can't cough, sneeze or laugh.
Oh, your stomach must be supposed to be so firm now then.
No, they're in shock, I think.
That's the trouble. It takes a really long time to recover if you do.
I was supposed to do another one this morning and I thought, are you joking? I can't get out of bed. No, I said.
But we're meeting up, aren't we? Because that'll be a nice reunion.
Yes, with foam bananas.
With foam bananas. Oh, look, I'll have to get you a present.
No, don't. Definitely don't get me foam bananas.
No, I won't, because you did get them once, didn't you?
They were awful.
Yes, you were nearly sick, I think.
Polystyrene packing chips, they were disgusting.
Oh, God. Oh, that was...
You know, you wanted some music.
Oh, yeah?
Well, we've got a man doing some music.
No way.
Yep. He is called Matt Rodriguez Payne.
Oh, my God. I love him.
And God almighty. And he... he's done us a Latin version of the theme tune.
Oh my God.
He is now working on a Baroque harpsichord version.
Wow.
I know.
Who is this figura?
Matt Rodriguez Payne, I told you.
Matt Rodriguez Payne. I love him.
He's not Speedy Gonzalez.
Españolo?
But what else did he say? It is very nice of him. Yes.
Is he going to write us some songs, though?
Yes, he could. I can ask him.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
He said, on one of your older podcasts, you paid reference to Adam and his sober voice of Doom-style delivery. But not sure if you know that he also plays Simon in Claire in the Community. A very different character to Adam. Anyway, so we very much look forward to hearing the Baroque harpsichordy version.
Wow.
And at the end of this show, I will play in... the Spanish or the Latin version of the theme tune.
Oh my God, I can't wait to hear that.
That Matt has done.
Thank you so... gracias, señores. Gracias, muchos. Yay, bueno.
Have you taken your teeth out for that?
I've got my Halloween teeth in for that. Wow, that's really cool. And we've got to give a big shout out to our amazing SFX friend
Dunya with the screaming kangaroo. She said that she's even found an effect of a screaming kangaroo.
I bet you if she sent it to the Archers, that it would find its way into an episode.
Yeah, it would be, I'm not sure about that sheep, David.
Rosie is so noisy today. Tantrums.
She said mating.
Worse.
Mating Galapagos turtles. Well, that'll be Toby. And screaming kangaroos, she says. Anyway, she hasn't sent us those. But she has. But she said, imagine that my whole library does not contain one single badger. So there we are.
Oh, I can't believe we nearly got through a whole podcast without saying...
Badger!
Badger! So thank you, Dunya,
yes,
for reminding us.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And Matt and everybody who just sends us things. They're just great. Brilliant.
Yes, it is. It is amazing to be sent stuff.
It really is. Yes.
Do you think a badger there isn't a sound effect for it because they come out at night and they don't make a sound?
Yes.
Wouldn't it probably sound like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or it would sound like that if it was in Wind in the Willows.
Or the splatting noise as it gets run over on the A14 and decorates the verge.
Oh my God! Stop it! Just because we talked about composting Bert,
right?
Don't need to bring the tone down, Lucy.
That's the title of this week's episode, Composting Bird. I know, and I'm very excited about all these sound effects. I'm going to have to send them all to Mr. Newby because he loves a sound effect. So the next time we hear from him in his cottage, he'll be at a fairground or something, won't
he? Oh, my God. It's going to be ridiculous. Oh, my God. We could just have a sort of a feature that's just some spliced together cool sound effects.
Now another one. A Secret, this one's called. Dear Carmichael Freeman and Newbie, he says, I am writing to you regarding the conveyancing for my property. He says, this is a confession of some magnitude. I have been listening to the Archers for about 15 years. This is actually from Rick Turner. And throughout that time, I have been harbouring a dark secret. Something I'm not proud of, but assumed I was entirely alone in until I listened to last week's podcast. Now I'm not the only one. I feel that this secret... what? Now... Yes, just like David, Mr. Martin Tunstall's long-suffering husband, whose alleged opinion was read out last week, I too think that Adam Macy sounds hot. I know it's wrong, and that generally the things he says are duller than Amy Frank's in a grey coat on a foggy day, and he's frequently an arse, but I can't help it! I am now wondering whether there are more of us with this secret. Is this phenomena purely just suffered by homosexuals? Perhaps you could set up some kind of support group. All the best from Duncan Smythe Whimsy. This name has been changed to protect my anonymity, he says. We know it's you, Rick. We can see you. We can see you. Rubbing your trouser legs every time Adam Macy speaks.
I actually agree that Adam has... There is something a little bit turny-onny about Adam's voice.
No.
Yeah, I've already said that before. Not like massively, but he's very, because he's very masculine, isn't he? He's quite.
It's very controlled. It's a bit Mr. Darcy, I suppose, isn't it? A bit that sort of strangulated.
Yes. Yes, so I do sympathise.
Yes, but you can't imagine somebody like that being helpless with laughter, can you?
I just sort of feel like he has quite a... I feel like, from his voice, you imagine he's quite statuesque.
Oh, right.
With quite a honed physique.
Mm. You overthink this shit, you really do.
Says she.
Yes, all right. Now, this is from Elvis, so there you go. Dear Hattie Lulu, sorry that name is going to stick, he says.
Yay, at Hattie Lulu. Well, we should have our own Twitter handle.
Well, I did live up to the stereotype of a whinging pom the other week. It's good to hear it read back so that I know. I had a lovely last week at my current job as I start a permanent one next week. Now lockdown is easing here. I even got to go to the office by driverless train. I could go full Lee and Tony as I stood at the front window, panting and pretending to be the driver. Quick question. How young does Harriet think she is when citing age for not knowing Green Wing? Wasn't that just before the first lockdown? Yeah, she's actually 10. Right, Archers, a lovely bit of Ambridgian farcical filler in the shape of nonagenarian post-smoking tension and rural sycophancy. Blake, of course, the scriptwriters couldn't make it happily ever after. I should know better, I suppose, having quit listening at the age of 15 because of the shower sex and resuming just as Helen and Rob came back from their surprise honeymoon. I don't know why, but I actually got a shiver down the spine at Blake's mention of the grey man. Not sure why I found that so chilling. And finally, what actually is Philip? He was playing the innocent Samaritan again when Krusty called, only to turn sinister and blackmail-y to demand a visit. Yes, this is true. Love and covetous glances from down under, Elvis.
Ooh. Ooh, I like the covetous glances. I got the chills about the grey man as well.
Yeah. Because it sounds like a childhood thing,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Viv Moriarty. Dear Trex Sherlock. And Roby, she says, Trevor is evil and must be stopped. He will be back to build an underground secret lair in Ambridge with impossible Manx cats and sharks with laser beams. Jill will make a mountain of flapjacks to slingshot into the lair. In the meantime, Shula will send out a horse in which harassment will be concealed. Trevor will be distracted by comparing horsepower capacities of various vehicles. Harassment will leap out and tie up evil Trevor with bunting. Ambridge is saved. Hurrah. The end. Viv, you're mad. Thank you very much.
It's a good prediction.
It's a good prediction.
And a realistic one.
And to be honest, no more unlikely than anything else that will doubtless happen. I love the fact of harassment getting into a Trojan horse. You know, do what? Get into the horse? Why am I getting into... yes, that's wrong accent. Anyway, right. Martin Tunstall. This email is headed The Lies of Dr. Brown. This is the ongoing saga of Willa Hammett. Okay.
Oh, what's the latest?
Don't be deceived by a doctorate and the snazzy title at an Ivy League university. Willa Brown is trying to pull the wool over your eyes. True, her gin and gossip zooms, to which I have not been invited, take place at 1 a.m. UK time on a school night, but that's only by her own choice. They could take place at a more civilised time of the day if only she arranged them to. Okay, that might mean she was drinking gin at breakfast time in the US, but I lived with her for 3 years, so I know it wouldn't be the first time. Where is her commitment? Unfortunately, the ghost road trip, including the human goat creature, was all too real. It was my birthday. If only we had been high. It has got me thinking, though, if Ambridge were to have its own cryptid, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, etc., what would it be? Jade is not an acceptable answer. And just to correct her final egregious lie, neither my husband nor I find Adam hot. No one finds Adam hot. Well, Rick does. Not even Ian. I'm sure Charlie Thomas was only in it for the arable contract, and that's not a euphemism. Now, the Fairbrothers, on the other hand, he says, ... Not that I'm allowed to discuss the Archers much at home. Husband works in the theatre and for some reason finds it embarrassing. My first question to any actor he introduces me to is, have you been in the Archers? Of course, if they say no, as they invariably do, my interest in the conversation wanes very quickly.
No, but I have played a corpse in Peaky Blinders.
What did she play? A corpse, both times.
Oh, that's a funny email. I love the ongoing saga.
Yes.
I hope someone makes a podcast out of it.
No, because then all our listeners will stop listening to us and just go and listen to that one instead. We haven't cryptids and gay men sleeping under bridges in the hope of seeing a half man, half goat and, you know, fraudulent professors in Harvard. And
Ambridge should have that, shouldn't they? They should have a lesser spotted lynx or
but
something.
Joe kept going on about the Beast of Borchester, didn't he? Didn't he make it? Was that one of the things that he made up? He's made up most things. He's made up ghosts and he's made up whatever. Yeah. Shall we? What have we done? We've done that. Now we're going to play Mr. Noobs.
Niels.
Ready?
Yeah, ready.
Good morning, everybody. I bumped into Harrison this morning and he asked me if I knew anything about the grey man. I presumed he was talking about Roy and replied that, of course, I did. He immediately got so excited that his plastic truncheon fell out of his Batman utility belt, and then he said he'd be back later on with some crayons on the back of an old shopping list to interview me. I tried to ask why he was interested, but he'd already run off down the street shouting, "Elementary, my dear Watson!" How perplexing. Finally perfected my zombie Jack Hargreaves costume. My order from Briar Pipes Full of Fake Maggots.com arrived and set it off a treat, and called round to pick up Beverly to take her up to the Bull for the Halloween party. When she opened the door, I complimented her on her zombie Sheena Easton costume, but it turned out that the party had been cancelled and she was just done up for going out. I tried to explain how much I liked Sheena back in the day, but I think the damage was done. Nobody bloody tells me anything. Anyway, there wasn't time for me to go home and change. I hadn't eaten since breakfast and I was worried about the sandwiches running out, so I decided to go anyway and just style it out. I probably should have removed the latex and fake blood from my face, at least, as there was an audible gasp from both Kenton and Jolene as I approached the bar, although Justin laughed like a drain, congratulated me on my one-man battle against the woke, and bought me a pint. What a nice man. They decided to have a games night, which sounded like fun, but it turned out to just be a choice between backgammon with Tom, and I'd never played before, but after beating him 7 times in a row, I felt like I got as much fun out of it as I was going to, or a game of What's in My Pocket with Brian. I'm quite good at guessing, so I was all for giving it a try, but Brian said that under a complicated handicap system, which he didn't have time to explain, I wasn't allowed to take part, but Beverly was. She had several guesses, a gherkin, a mini water balloon, half a packet of Rolos, until eventually Brian said she was close enough and awarded her first prize, which apparently was outside, round the back of the bins. Harrison came in and offered to buy me a pint if I told him everything I knew about the Grey Man, but as Roy was at the other end of the bar, I said I didn't really feel comfortable with the idea, and as luck would have it, Beverly had just come back in from the garden, so we left. She wouldn't tell me what the prize had been, but it must have been a big surprise because, whatever it was, she looked quite flushed. Harrison was round knocking on my door first thing the following morning, insisting that I tell him everything I knew about the Grey Man. I must admit, by this stage I was starting to smell a rat, and I'm not sure that he's talking about Roy at all. I was far too embarrassed to admit as much, though, so I played it cool and pretended I wasn't sure I could remember rightly. Harrison just said, "Oh, I see," winked at me, and then offered to drive me down to Cricket St Thomas at the weekend to see the flamingos. Fortunately, I was saved by the arrival of Toby at the door. Harrison left, but said he'd be back. It would be nice to think that some actual police work would come up to distract him, but I'm not holding my breath. Anyway, Toby told me that he'd heard that I had a spare room, and wondered if he might move in as a lodger. I told him that I needed to keep that room free, as I was hoping that Beverly would move in with me at some point, and obviously she'll need somewhere to sleep when she does. No sooner had Toby made his excuses, but Rex was on the doorstep looking thoroughly fed up and asking me the same thing. Apparently he's expecting to have to move out of the bungalow soon. In a moment of inspiration, I told him that I'd got all the lodgers I needed, having taken in Pigling Bland, but that just seemed to make him even more miserable for some reason. I have the feeling I'm caught up in the middle of something here, but I've no idea what. Wednesday, and Harrison was back at the door, offering me 3 jars of runny elderberry jelly and a hand shandy in the bus shelter in exchange for spilling my guts. I decided to accept his offer, if only to stop him visiting me, and started telling him what I knew about Roy, and then all of a sudden he was gone, taking his jelly and presumably his other kind offer with him. Ah well. On the plus side, at least I can still look Roy in the eye, or at least I could if he'd ever put his phone down. Right, there's definitely something going on. The next day, Rosie knocked on my door and said that as her parents hate each other and there's never anything to eat, could she come to live with me? I told her to give it 6 months to see how she feels then. I mean, her parents will still be awful in 6 months, I know, but at least it'll give me some time to get some bread and jam in. Later on, I was in the Bull having a quiet pint and a tongue sandwich when Lillian came in. We were chatting about this and that until I happened to mention that I have tickets for one of the Buckingham Palace garden parties next summer, and all of a sudden she was all over me, and it was darling this and darling that. I thought I was starting to get the hang of Ambridge and the people who live here, but I realise now that I'm only beginning to scratch the surface. And honestly, there are times when I wonder about my decision to move here. Still, at least I can comfort myself with the thought that, should I need it, I once again have the offer of a hand shandy in the bus shelter.
Oh!
He's a dirty one this week.
I don't want to think about.
I think Beverly's got him all riled. Riled? That's probably not the right word, actually.
He's got very, very, yes.
He's got all invigorated.
Oh, God.
Like Shula. Oh. I think that's why he's been talking it so fast as well.
Yes. He seemed to...
He knows he's a little bit on the boundary.
He thinks if I just gabble through it, they won't notice how rude I'm being. Rudeness. All the fireworks have stopped here now.
Oh, they're all coming over here.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear? Yeah. Whoosh, bang, wallop. Exciting.
Can't see any of them.
It's supposed to go,
woo! Oh. But the thing is, I can hear them clearly, but I can't see anything.
Ah.
There's too many like trees and buildings in the way.
Well, that's London, love.
That is London for you. There's no sky ever.
Talking of fireworks, shall we do a little bit of scripty?
Oh, yay! So yes. And now we cross over to the green, where Krusty is masterminding the fireworks display on the green.
Okay,
such,
do you want to do that again
writing.
Without that bit? Yes? Okay, good.
Such good writing.
Piss off.
And now we cross over to the green, where Krusty is masterminding the fireworks display. On the green.
I hate you so much.
In green.
With Mr. Green.
Hiya, Clary. What do you think of the bonfire?
The guy's good. Who made it? It didn't half look like Pat Archer.
No, that is Pat. She's gone up there checking for hedgehogs.
They'd be down the bottom, wouldn't they?
Abseiling hedgehogs. You know Pat, she's very thorough.
Who's that in the fluorescent jacket?
Dunno. Health and safety man, I should think. He's got a flame-proof clipboard. Hi. Did you want me? I'm the organiser.
Good evening, Miss Miller. This all looks very picturesque. The weather looks like it'll hold.
I know, it's very disappointing. I was hoping for rain. I'm emotionally suited to drizzle.
Quite. So, is the bonfire stable? The guy looks a little unsteady up there.
Oh, not you too. That's not the guy. It's Pat Archer. I'm going to have to tell her to take that hat off. It's confusing for people. Pat, either take the hat off or move about a bit more.
Oh, she should probably come down.
Or probably come down.
Now, how are you managing crowd control?
Kenton's got his megaphone, so he'll scream down it if they get too close. The food stalls are over there. Eddie got us more of his out-of-date meat products out the back of the cattle market. And the children will have biodegradable sparklers over there.
Well, I'm just making a note. Out-of-date meat products. Biodegradable sparklers, did you say?
Yeah, wooden sticks dipped in hemp oil.
I see. Flaming torches. Children with flaming torches. Can't see anything wrong with that at all.
And then Jolene and Kenton will be bringing round mulled wine. Well, not so much mulled as just really hot.
Boiling alcohol. Right.
Shula's doing pony rides over there.
In the dark?
Yeah. The children aren't so scared of her if they can't see her face.
Okie dokie. Live animals near naked flame and scalding liquid.
And then, of course, there's the fireworks.
Ah, yes. The live explosives. Who's in charge of them? The toddler playgroup?
What? No, Eddie Grundy. Like always.
Does he have the training?
No, he just lights a match and runs like hell.
Quite frankly, Miss Miller, if you escape this event without a serious incident, I will be greatly surprised. However, as Borchester Council appears to be entirely toothless and has never successfully prosecuted anybody, I have no choice but to let this farrago proceed.
You're too late anyway. Lillian Bellamy's just flicked her fag on the firework box. Oh, isn't it pretty? Oh, look, there go the ponies. Pandora's hanging on there, look. She's jumping the pond. Oh, well, nearly.
The flame's getting nearer the pub.
Don't worry, just means the wine will be even more mulled.
Oh my God, how am I going to explain this to our head of health and safety?
Just tell him it went much better than last year.
There'll be another podcast up next week, so subscribe to us on iTunes.
On iTunes.
And you will never miss an episode.
Miss an episode.
And please give us a review. And we will give you big kisses. Especially Mr. Newbie, who will give you a hand shandy round the back
God.
Of the bins.
Oh, stop. I think that is a drink.
Of course it is.
In the meantime, if you would like to contact us, you can email ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com and give us your comments or any questions for Mr. Newbie.
You sounded like Helena Bonham Carter then. We are at On Ambridge on Twitter, or you can follow Mr. Newbie on Twitter at Newbie Couch.
And in the meantime, it's goodbye from all of us. Oh, I'm missing them already, Lucy. Ugh, have a lovely week.
Bye.
Oh, I didn't want it to end now.
Oh, that's good. That's because It's Friday and you know that when you put Because when we stop, it means you have to stop drinking wine and you have to stand up and go and do the dishwasher.
I know.
Stuff.
Oh, tell me about it. And the dishwasher doesn't work. It's broken. So it's like you basically you have to unstack the dishwasher and then wash it all up.
There is a solution that immediately springs to mind.
No, can't do it because I refuse to admit that the dishwasher is completely broken.
Right.
I don't want to get a... Who'd you get out to mend your dishwasher?
Well, is it under warranty still?
Oh, no, no, it's about 50 years old.
What make is it?
It came with the house.
Oh, what make is it?
It's one of those. It's a Miele. Miele. Well, so it should just work forever.
Miele.
I have. I've YouTubed. I've done everything. I've done all the troubleshooting.
No, look up Miele engineer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Maybe he'll come in his lounge pants. And,
Shepherd's Bush. Is that where you are? Shepherd's Bush.
Shepherd's. Come to Shepherd's Bush in your lounge pants.
There you go.
Yes, Miele dishwasher
quick
man.
Quick fix Miele dishwasher all repair woman. Shepherd's all Bush. Woman. Do you want the number?
What? Yeah, but you know what? You know it says that. Mm. You know it says Shepherd's Bush. Mm. You know it doesn't mean it's in Shepherd's Bush. You know, that's just the... So when you write... Well, you know when you put a service in, yes. You write Shepherd's Bush... Yes. It'll come up and say da 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 yes. Shepherd's Bush.
Yes, I know.
But it doesn't
mean
it.
I know that. Yeah. But this one actually is in Shepherd's Bush. No,
I thought I was.
Areas
I
we
was
cover.
You a revelation.
Shepherd's fucking bush.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.